So the Lord has just been speaking to my heart the past few days. We've been speaking about Ministry of Helps, and we've been learning how we can apply our gifts and our talents in the church and what we can do as a body to come together and work together for the same purpose. To edify the church. So, what the Lord was speaking to me about is just about passion. So, the Lord's been speaking to my heart personally about passion. And I wanted to share with you guys what the Lord has placed in my heart about passion. So, it's not going to be the Bible study format tonight. I'm going to speak the word that God's laid on my heart for us. And I pray that you guys have an open heart and an open mind and open ears to receive it. I'm just excited to see what God's going to do. So I figured instead of me typing out the outline for you guys can just write it out. We're all adults in here, right? We know how to write. Sometimes when we write things out ourselves, it tends to stick a little better. It tends to stand out of our mind a little better. So that's what we're going to do tonight. Let's pray for God's word. God, we just thank you for your word. We just thank you that it's true. It's real. It's for us. It was written to us. It's for our benefit, God. I just thank you for your son, God. I just thank you for sending him for us, Lord. And I just pray tonight, God, that we are reignited in you, Father God, that the fire is being kindled in our hearts, God, and that we'll leave here re-energized with some zeal and some zest for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. So the title of the message tonight is, How About Some Passion? How About Some Passion? And after the introduction, we're going to go through six different areas that can steal our passion away from us. The creative force behind all great art, drama, music, architecture, writing is passion. Nothing great is ever accomplished in life without passion. Nothing great is ever sustained in life without passion. Passion is what energizes our life. Passion makes the possible possible. Passion gives you reason to get up in the morning and go with the attitude that I'm going to do something today. Without passion, life becomes boring. It becomes monotonous. It becomes so routine. It becomes dull. God created you with emotions to have passion in your life, and he wants you to live a passionate life. Passion is what mobilizes armies into action. Passion is what causes explorers to boldly go where no man's gone before. Passion is what causes scientists to spend late night hours trying to find the cure for a dreaded disease. Passion is what takes a good athlete and turns him into a great athlete where he's breaking records or she is breaking records. You've got to have passion in your life. And if you want to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 12 with me, we're going to read verse 30. And this is a great example of what passion is to look like for us. The greatest commandment to us, the first commandment. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and all thy soul and with all thine mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the Message Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your passion and your prayer and all of your intelligence and all of your energy. God is saying he wants us to put some muscle into it. He wants us to put some energy. He wants us to make a decision to live fervently for him. He doesn't want us to be half-hearted. He doesn't want our relationship to be dull. He wants us to have passion. You've got to have some oomph. You've got to have some spark, some zip, some enthusiasm, some zest. He wants us to live passionately. But here's the problem. Our culture, the world we live in, tells us it's okay to be passionate about anything and everything but our faith. It tells us we can be passionate about basketball, sports. It tells us we can be passionate about teaching. It tells us we can be passionate about science. It tells us we can be passionate about this and about that. But when it comes to an area where we want to be passionate about our faith, it's not okay. That there's a roadblock there. It's okay for us to go to a baseball game and shout our head off, but it's not okay for us to come in church and shout our head off. When we go to a baseball game or a basketball game and we dance when the team scores, we jump up and down. I do that sometimes. Get into it and get excited. And that's when, you know, our buddy or somebody said, man, that's a true fan right there. He's passionate about his team. He's passionate about this team. But when we get passionate about our faith, we become a nutcase, or we're crazy, or we're weird. It's okay to be passionate about anything but our faith. So what I want to talk to you about is about six passion stealers, six things that will steal our passion from us. And number one, since we're all taking notes, is an unbalanced schedule. An unbalanced schedule will take our passion away from us very quickly. This means either you're overworked or you're underworked. If you're overworked or you're underworked, you're going to lose your passion for God. Life is a series of seasons. The Bible says there's a season for everything. There's a season to live. There's a season to die. There's a season to laugh. There's a season to cry. So there's a season for everything. And there's a rhythm to life. You need both in your life, both input and output. You need both rest and work. Too much of either will cause you to lose your passion. Some of the problem is some of you are giving out too much. Some of us give out too much. We're always helping, always sharing, always serving. You're always working, always being generous. Never take the time to recharge. If you never take the time to recharge, you've got unbalanced on the ministry side. On the work side, you're going to eventually get compassion. You're going to lose your strength, and you're going to lose compassion. Others in here are the exact opposite. You're always taking. You're never giving out. You go to Bible studies. You listen to teachers on the radio. You listen to tapes. You go to seminars, you listen to this message, you listen to that message. You're always learning, always taking in, always growing in the input, but you're never giving out. You don't have any ministry, you don't have any mission. You're not really helping anybody. You're just talking, you're taking all the spiritual food and getting fatter and fatter and fatter till pretty soon we'll have to roll you down the aisle. And that's where we get the term holy rollers. Some of you holy rollers, you're taking it all in, and you're never giving it out. Turn with your, in your Bibles with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Beginning to read with verse 7. The Word of God says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of life that now is and of what which is to come." We all know to be physically fit, right, we have to have a balance of diet and exercise. And to be spiritually fit, we have to have a balance or we're going to lose our passion. You need to. There's five things you need to balance in your spiritual lives so you don't lose your passion. Number one is you need to have time to worship God privately and corporately. Number two, you need to have times when you're fellowshipping with other believers. That's not on Wednesday night. This isn't what this is talking about, what I'm talking about. Fellowshipping with other believers is outside of this church, outside of these walls. We come together and we break bread together and we talk to each other and we hold each other accountable in areas. You need to have times when you're reading God's word. You need to have times of service, of ministry, when you're in ministry, where you're giving out and using your abilities. And you need to have times of mission. The second to last one is you need to have time when you're working in ministry. You're using your abilities to serve God. And you're using your abilities inside the church. And the last one is you need to have times of mission, when you're sharing your faith. All these areas, if we can balance these five areas, we will be so spiritually fit that this city don't stand a chance. But if we don't balance these five areas of our spiritual lives, we're going to lose our compassion. We're going to lose our passion. We're going to lose our zeal, and we're going to lose our zest. Number two, the second area. Yeah, so sometimes there's not enough, yeah. So, number two, the second area, the second passion stealer is an unused talent. It's funny, just to tell a little story about unused talent. The girl that cuts my hair, a lot of you know her, Tiffany, was over cutting my hair today, and she was talking about how she loved to cut hair, but she's working at Martin's, and she just was so joyful and happy when she's cutting hair, and she applied for inquired about a job in a studio, cutting hair again, and, you know, you can just tell in her voice that she was excited about that. But she sort of pushed it off like, you know, I don't know, you know, it's just, I was like, that's perfect. I'm going to use you just as an example of what I'm going to speak about at church tonight, because I was like, God has given you a talent to cut hair, and she does a really good job. She's my favorite. She does a really good job cutting hair, and that's a talent she has. She's burnt out at Martin's because she's not using her talent. She's only using a little bit of, now that's not the only talent she has. She's not just a good haircutter. She has other abilities and other talents that God's given her. But she's not using enough of her talents at Martin's to keep her passion, to keep her urge, to keep her, you know, desire to be fulfilled at that job. And I was just like, Tiffany, it was only a matter of time before you're gonna get burned out on that job because you're not using your talents and abilities to fulfill that job. So in 1 Peter chapter 4, if you want to flip there with me, verse 10 says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same to one another as good stewards to the manifold grace of God. The Greek word for gift here is charisma. It translates to a form of passion. God has given us certain talents and abilities and personalities, gifts, to shape us into what he's given to the people that we are. Those talents, those gifts, those abilities haven't been given to us for us. They've been given to us for the one sitting beside us, for the one sitting in front of us, for the one that we work with, for the one that we carpool with, or whoever it is. The abilities that God has blessed us with, they're not just for us. Our gifts are for the next person's benefit. My gifts are for your benefit, and your gifts are for my benefit. I benefit from your gifts, but if you're not using them, I'm not going to benefit from them. I want to benefit from every gift. I want to benefit from everybody, and I want everybody to benefit from me in every way they can. We're to use the gifts in the service of people. God has placed us in the world for a special purpose. He has given us talents. He has given us gifts for a specific reason, and that's to help the one beside us. If you're in a, there was a study that most Americans that are working are only using 30% of their natural talent and ability at their job. So that leaves 70% unfulfilled. 70% of most of the things that God has blessed you with being unused most of your week, most of the time that you spend doing something is at work. 8 or 9 hours a day, you're spent only using 30% of what God has given you. That leaves 70% to be left in the boredom factor. 70% of you is bored. Does that make sense? So we got 30% of our talents being used, 70% of our talents not being used. Can you see how that creates a passion stealer when we're not using all of our gifts and all of our abilities? The reality is we'll never find a job in the secular world that's going to use 100% of our talent. You're never going to find a job that's 100% fulfilling. God never intended for our secular work to bring us 100% fulfillment. That's where he comes in. That's where our God comes in. That's where our God comes in to ignite us. That's why we have more than a job. He wants us to be working together here in ministry so we can get our fulfillment, 100% fulfillment through him. we need a job, but we also need to be in ministry to express what we're good at here. We have our job that expresses what we're good out there. Ooh. Do you have something to say? Why? Oh. So we need to be in ministry here so we can express what we're good at inside these walls. Amen? The number three passion stiller is unconfessed sin. When we don't repent and we don't ask God to forgive us of our sins and we walk around with burdens, it becomes heavy. You get convicted. You feel guilty all the time. It robs your confidence. It robs your passion. It just makes you feel icky sometimes. Anybody know what that feels like except for me? Just me? That's okay. God's speaking to me. Amen. The Bible tells us that we have to confess our faults. We have to confess our sins and ask for forgiveness. And He's faithful to forgive us. We don't walk around thinking, I have sin in my life, I'm a guilty person. Instead, we rationalize it consciously. Consciously, we think, it's okay. Everybody else is doing it. It's not a big deal. But on the inside of us, it just gnaws at us. It eats at us. It just, something inside of us knows it's not right. Amen. Yeah. That's right. And that just leads perfectly into what we have been talking about the past couple weeks in our priorities class as far as accountability partners go. It's important for us to have accountability partners and to confess one to another what we're going with so we can help each other out. Psalms 38, if you want to flip there, if you don't, just write it down and go back later. Verse 4 says, "For mine iniquities are gone over mine head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled, I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long." Sam, you work on computers, right? You're a big computer guy, you know the ins and outs of computers. Have you ever had a computer crash on you? Too many computers crash on you. Sometimes they crash, sometimes they stop working. What happens is the program tries to write something in the wrong area, in the wrong place, at the wrong time, and then you lose everything. Guilt does that to us. Guilt treats us the same way. We're not made to live with guilt. God did not make us to carry guilt around all the time. He made us to deal with it immediately. He sent Jesus to die on the cross to say, I want to offer you a gift, freedom from guilt. That is God's gift. Go ahead. Amen. Amen. Just real quick, not that I don't respect everybody's feedback and comments and questions, and but the Lord's placed this word on my heart to preach tonight. We'll have time after to discuss. If you want to discuss with the group or ask questions, we can do that afterwards. But I just don't want to break up what God's doing as far as this message goes. So if you got any questions or comments, just save them for after, and maybe we'll have some opportunity afterwards to go that route. Again, not that I don't appreciate and honor all of you guys. But what we were talking about was confessing sins. We were talking about unconfessed sins and what they do to us. They just gnaw at us and they eat at us. Some of us, I was just talking about the computer crash. Some of us may be going through a personal system crash where we've had so much guilt eating at us through unconfessed sins that it's stolen our joy. It's taken our passion. It's taken our enthusiasm. But what do we do about that? What are we supposed to do when we come to this point in our lives where we just don't know what to do? We feel like we're just down in a low of lows, like she was just talking about with David. God made the way for us. His word says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's God's word. That's God's truth. That's what he told us, that if we confess our sins, that he will forgive us. And his word also says that our sins will be cast out as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. If he doesn't remember them, if he's not going to remember our sin, and he's not going to hold our sin over our head, why should we be walking around in guilt? We shouldn't. We shouldn't. When we confess our sins and we ask God to forgive us, immediately we should forget about them. If we truly have a repentant heart and we truly turn from that, immediately they should be gone out of our heart. The number four passion stealer is unresolved conflict. Conflict just drains the passion right out of you. You start your day, and it's going to be a great day, and you know it. You fly out of bed. You're awake the moment you get up. You're ready for the day. You take a shower, eat breakfast, spend time. You're ready. You're on the way out the door, and then you get in a fight with your husband or wife. Right before you're leaving for work, right before you're going wherever, you have a conflict. And you're so fired up at the time, you're so fired up at that moment that you just leave without resolving it. You just go on your way. All the zip goes out of you, all the doodah day is gone. Your day is ruined from the moment your foot hits the outside of that door because of that unresolved conflict. The air comes out of the tire. Your attitude suddenly goes flat. Some of us have constant conflict, whether it's at work or at home. Maybe you're doing all you can to minimize the conflict, but it's coming from the other person. How do you keep your passion in a situation like that? Here's what you do. You decide to protect yourself from the three passion-killing emotions that come into our lives in conflict. You cannot control the other person always, but you can control the emotions in the midst of the conflict. Resentment, jealousy, and prolonged anger. Resentment, jealousy, and prolonged anger. Those are the three passion-killing emotions. These next verses talk all about them. We're going to go to Job. Job chapter 5, verse 2. The word of God says, "For wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. For wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one." In Job chapter 18, verse 4, He teareth himself in his anger. Shall the earth be forsaken for thee, and shall the rock be removed out of his place? Yea, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine. We have to make a decision when it comes to resentment and jealousy and prolonged anger to let it go. Sometimes we have to be that person that we don't want to be, that says, okay, I'm not going to let this happen. I'm not going to let it happen. And in my house, I'm usually that person. Can I get an amen? Anybody usually that person? Just me? So we have to choose in those moments that we're not going to let that affect us. And we can look at Job all day long and be lifted up in that area. So we have to forgive. God knows us. He made us. He created us. We can't carry resentment. So he says we have to let it go. Even logically, we know that resentment that we have in our lives is not hurting the person we're resentful against. They don't even know we're resentful. It's hurting us. The resentment's hurting us. Like the person that you're holding unforgiveness or a grudge or bitterness, they don't know. Like they probably don't have any clue. But yet it's in you, and it's stealing your joy, and it's stealing your passion, and it's stealing your zeal. And they're having their doo-dah day. They're still having their doo-dah day while you're rolled over angry and bitter and resentful. And God says, forgive. He says, forgive so I can forgive. That's if we don't forgive, we don't get forgiven. We have to forgive so he can forgive us. If you want passion to be restored in your heart and in your life, you have to forgive and you have to let it go. Excuse me. Number five is an unclear purpose. We all have a destiny. We all have a purpose. We all have an identity, and it's in him. But sometimes it's hard for us to see what that purpose is. Or we know what our purpose is, but we've been in a valley, or we've had some things happen in our lives that sort of fog what God has already shown us that we're supposed to be. It sort of steals that away from us. So when we forget our purpose in life, it's a sure way that we'll lose our passion. If we have no purpose, what's the fight? Where's the fight at? Life without a purpose is activity without direction. It's motion without meaning. It's life without purpose. Life without purpose is trivial, petty, and pointless. We get distracted by budgets and bills and babies and baseball and all kinds of things. We forget the five reasons God put us here on earth. We forget that God put us here on earth to drift toward him. He put us here on earth for his purpose, for his glory, for his honor. Isaiah 49 says, I've labored to no purpose and spent my strength in vain for nothing. Maybe that's what you feel like. But Isaiah also says, do not grow weary in well-doing. In due season, you'll reap if you faint not. Passion and purpose go together. When you have a clear purpose, it's going to give you a lot of passion. I relate to sports. I use sports all the time when I speak. My Washington Redskins are Super Bowl bound this year. Amen. They have a purpose. The Eagles, the Cowboys, whoever your team is, they start the season with a purpose. And that purpose is to win the world championship, to win the Super Bowl, to get there. And when they practice and they play those games, man, they're passionate. They're professionals. They're passionate about what they do. They care about it. They have a purpose, and it drives their passion. It drives them to work hard. It drives them to stay up. It drives them to stay up late watching film. It drives them to practice more. It drives them to do stuff that in the off season that they're not supposed to be doing, or they're supposed to be doing, but they're not required to do, because they have passion to win a championship. It's the same thing with us. What's our purpose? What's your purpose? What has God placed you here for? When you find your purpose and you see it clearly, a passion will come. A passion will light in you to get to that purpose. Passion is waking up in the morning, wherever you are, and bounding out of bed because you know there's something out there that you love to do, that you believe in, that God made you for, that you're good at. Something that's bigger than you, and you can hardly wait to get it again. That's purpose. That's purpose when you wake up and you say, yes. God, you created me to do something today. You created me for a purpose today. I know what my purpose is, and I'm passionate about it, and I'm gonna tackle it. I'm going to go after it full speed ahead. If you're only living for yourself, that's a pretty selfish purpose. That isn't going to make you very passionate. But God says, if you're living for me, that'll give you a lot of energy to get out of bed in the morning, because you'll need greater than yourself. It gives our life significance. It gives our life meaning when we're living for God, when we're living for His purpose. Especially since we know what we're... It's just like RG3 is looking at that Super Bowl. That's the goal. That's the prize in his eyes, is that trophy, to hold that trophy up. We know what our prize is. Our prize is eternal life with our Savior. Our prize is never dying. Our prize is living forever. Our prize is crying, holy, holy, holy. Our prize is walking on streets of gold. Our prize is seeing the crystal seas. Our prize is eating the best fruits ever. Our prize is spending eternity together. Does that drive you? Because it drives me. It drives me to want to share what I know with everybody else. It drives me to want to speak to people about Jesus. Because you don't know that person next. You don't even know him, but if you don't know them, how do you know? How do you know if they know Jesus or not? You don't know unless you ask. You don't know unless you ask. So we have purpose, and it drives us. We have a prize. We press forward. We press forward to that prize. Excuse me. And finally, number 6. Is an unnourished spirit. Every day we face all kinds of circumstances that conspire to shrink your spirit and shrivel your heart. You're going to get up tomorrow morning. You're going to have distractions and disappointments. You're going to have conflicts. You're going to have changes. You're going to have challenges. You're going to have problems, pressures. You're going to have frustrations, fears, failures. All these things fall in you and shrivel your heart and shrink your spirit. You must intentionally nourish your spirit. You must intentionally make the decision to do that. If you do not do it, nobody else is going to do it for you. Nobody can nourish our spirit but ourselves. Unless you're a baby or you have some kind of disability, nobody's going to feed you natural food but yourself. You're not going to eat unless you put the spoon in your mouth. And it's the same thing with God. You're not going to eat unless you read the word. You're not going to eat unless you pray. You're not going to eat unless you sing, unless you worship, unless you praise Him. This is our spiritual food. So how do we do that? We learned earlier 5 areas. We need times of worship. Corporately and privately, fellowship, we need to read God's word so we can be more like Christ, And we need to be in ministry. We need to work together so the talents can help, our talents can help other people. And we need a mission in the world. And that's our purpose, to share our faith. If you just choose one of these purposes and forget the others, you're going to be imbalanced and you're going to lose your passion. We need them all. So how do we get there? How do we have a nourished spirit? Here's the first place that we start. We need to recognize how God feels about us. God is very passionate about us. God is very long-suffering. God loves us so much. We have to realize what God thinks of us. Exodus chapter 34, verse 14 says, "For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God." You know what jealous means there? It translates to he's passionate. He's passionate for us. So we need to recognize how much passion God has for us. And it's a lot. He's not up in heaven going, "Oh, yeah, that's another one of my creations. Next." He's long-suffering. He's so passionate about us. He made you to love you. He made you so he could love you. He made me so he could love me. The more we understand about God's passion for us, the more passionate we will become for him. When we forget how much God loves you, we'll start blowing him off. When we forget about how much God loves us, instead of praying in our usual allotted prayer time, we'll decide, "Oh, there's something good on TV tonight. I'll just watch TV. There's a good movie on." So if you want to flip to Romans chapter 12, I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Bible. This is how we stay passionate. The Word of God says, "Never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord." Notice it's not automatic. It's not something that just happens. It's a choice that we have to make. It's a discipline that we have to do. It's not our nature to be passionate about God. It's something that we have to choose to be. We have to make the choice in our hearts to be that. We get distracted and everything in life conspires to keep you from being passionate. So he says, keep your passion going. Keep your fires going. It's a discipline. It's not just automatic. We have to train ourselves. We have to practice it. We have to make a choice, just like you chose to walk in this church tonight. We have to make a choice that we're going to be passionate about God, that we're going to serve him with an everlasting heart, that we're going to serve him because he has created us with a purpose to do so. God has blessed us so much with so many things. We don't have to look very far to see how blessed we are. Even when we're in trials and turmoils, man, we don't have to look very far to see how blessed we are. The very breath you're breathing, that's because God loves you. He loves us so much, and all he desires is for us to love him back, to love him like he loves us, to love our neighbor like he loves us, love our brother like he loves us. Passion. going to take work to keep it. I'm not talking physical work. It's going to take spiritual work. It's going to take us building ourselves up, praying for ourselves, reading God's word. It's going to take us standing on the purpose that he's given us. God just don't talk just to talk. He doesn't lead us to do things just for the fun of it. He doesn't speak to us just to do it. He doesn't say, son, I've called you to this. You're going to do this. Just to say, oh, if it doesn't work out. We all have a destiny. We all have a purpose. And it's God's plan for all of us to know what it is. And to be passionate about it. Bow your heads and let us pray. God, I just thank you for your word, Lord. I just thank you for that your word is true, that your word is honest. Lord, I pray that your word has seared our hearts tonight, God. Lord, if there's any in here tonight, Lord, that don't feel like they don't have a purpose, feel like they don't have a direction in life, God. Lord, I pray that you just minister right now to their heart, Lord. That they would leave here with a new fervor, a new passion for you, God, knowing that there is a purpose in their life and they do have a destiny. God, I pray that we continually just stoke our fires for you, Lord, and build ourselves up. That we are in your word, Lord. That everything that we do and say, God, would be glorifying to you and honoring to you. Lord, I just thank you for your truth tonight, Lord. I thank you for your son. Thank you what he means to us. Thank you for the spirit that's our guide, that's our convictor, that's our spark, Lord. And I just pray that your will be done in our lives this week, Lord. For the rest of this week, God, that we will just have a new spark this week, Lord, as we continue on in our week, Lord, that everything that we do and say would bring glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.